What is up, guys? How's everybody? How is the TDM family, the startup family, or the TDM tribe? How's everybody doing this week? How was your weekend? When I ask that, I genuinely want to know how your weekend was, and you know, questions. So feel free to message me on Instagram. My Instagram is the Dental Marketer. And yeah, just go on there and direct message me, like, hey man, my weekend was great or whatever. But anyways, guys, let's get into the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in into the Dental Marketer podcast. I hope this is a great start to your week. My guest is a very great guest. But before we get into it, I want to talk to you guys about the people who helped us bring this episode to you. So let's talk a little bit about, for 30 seconds or a minute, let's just talk about recalls, right? How are you guys doing in your recalls or with your recalls? Are you guys, do you feel like your office is making it happen? Do you feel like you're sitting on a lot of gold? Or do you feel like your recalls just, you feel like there's not enough time? Like your team maybe might say, hey, I have too much stuff to do. There's not enough time to make these recalls. Because guys, we all know recalls are already existing customers that are already sold. They're sold already. But their life happens. They haven't came to their 6-month checkup. They haven't. They have unscheduled treatment that they need to do that they just forgot about. Did you know that 3 out of 4 of your patients are not coming in for their 6-month dental cleaning? That's what the stats show. That more than half of your patients right now haven't seen you in over a year and a half. Guys, that's a lot. So these patients, like I told you, they're called recalls, right? And I know your team is calling and calling, trying to book these recalls, but the success rate might be low and no one is really being scheduled most of the times, right? Why is that? Maybe it's because we're calling during work hours, maybe 9 to 5. Maybe it's because we're catching them at a bad time, which would go back to the 9 to 5 thing. Maybe it's because they're busy, right? Well, who knows the reason why, but maybe we're just not catching them at the right time. So what can we do, right? In that scenario, well, the people who help you bring this episode, one of our partners is CallForce. Now, CallForce is an overdue patient scheduling service where actual people, actually highly trained people, they'll call your overdue patients at effective times, times where your patients are most likely available. So they will call your patients like maybe between 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. in your time zone, right? Not like whatever time zone. So CallForce is amazing, guys, because I love them because they're not long-term contracts, right? It's month to month, and you'll get daily reports on the patients, whether they have moved, changed insurance, etc., right? So you'll get all the notes no matter what. And here's the best part. You only pay for the appointments CallForce actually schedules. So it's not like a monthly service of like, okay, you're gonna have to pay $500, right? And I can try and see how many patients we get, like, right? Because then you'll be in the same scenario. So you're literally only paying for the appointments CallForce actually schedules. So these appointments are scheduled right onto your practice management system. So like Open Dental, Practice Works, whatever, right? CallForce will literally only improve your retention and revenue. So you literally have someone dedicated to making sure your recalls are coming in. Guys, that's huge. Someone who is just dedicated to making sure your recalls are coming in all the time. Someone who's on top of it. And say, for example, you're kind of like a new practice and you're like, okay, well, I don't have that many recalls, but I do need someone on top of it. Have them get on top of it. It's month to month, guys. So, I mean, maybe put a pause or stop. And then when you get busy again, continue with it, right? So contact them today for even just a demo. But make sure you go in the show notes below. And use the link that I provide you because you will get 100% off your setup fee. And I want to be very transparent with you guys. That does put a little bit of an affiliate money in my pocket. So the setup fee is originally $299, but when you use my link, it will be $199 for the setup fee. And you will only pay $25 per appointment scheduled. So guys, if you're wondering about price and all that stuff, I literally just said it right now. So remember, this is a pay per appointment scheduled service. I'm going to say the price again, okay? You'll get $100 off your setup fee if you use my link. And at the same time, you're also contributing a donation into my pocket, which helps me to provide better content for you. So anyways, you'll get $100 off your setup fee. So the setup fee is originally $299, but when you use my link, it will be $199 for the setup fee. And you will only pay $25 per appointment scheduled. That's only $25 per appointment scheduled. So go to the link below to schedule a demo today and make sure you use the link to get the Dental Marketer deal, which is $100 off your setup fee, and it will only be $25 per scheduled appointment. So go in the show notes below and click on the link. Alrighty, guys, now that we finished that, let's get into this episode. And I'm interviewing a guest. Her name is Sarah, right? And she's a dentist looking to do a startup. She's in the process of making her startup. In the very beginning process. I'm talking about very, very beginnings. And the interesting thing is, we say her last name, right? But I only say her name is Sarah because she kind of didn't want us to say her last name I didn't say her last name because she's working in public health. But eventually we say it anyway, so I don't even know why. But I like this interview because it's very relatable. She's one of the first people in her family to become a doctor. She grew up in a small town. Now, this probably is not the relatable part, but her town was so small. The population was like 92 people. I'm talking really small, right? She thought she was going to be a medical doctor, but then it didn't happen. And that kind of made me start thinking, like, how many of you guys from the start said, hey, I want to be a dentist and became a dentist? If not, what did you think? And then why did it transition? That's an interesting thing to know. That anything in life can always pivot, right? That's beautiful and interesting and scary at the same time. But she thought she was going to be a medical doctor, but then it didn't happen. And in fact, she was going to be a pharmacist, but it didn't work out. Why is that? Well, she tells us. She was shadowing a dentist in her college town and went on a mission trip to Kenya as well, Nakuru, and then came back and applied to dental school. Now, a lot of the times when we go to these mission trips, guys, I mean, your whole mentality, mindset changes, right? You're kind of like, this is what I want to do. And we, down the road, I feel like sometimes we lose it at when we're maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 years practicing, right, in dentistry. So that's why I also want you to hear this episode, because it's a really good reminder about that. Maybe why you did it, why you went on that mission trip, and why it sparked more of a fire, or sparked the fire in you to become a dentist. So Sarah wants to do a startup for a similar reason that you may want to do it. She's leaving also public health, and she sees patients when they are fearful and anxious. And what she wants to see change in dentistry is making patients feel bad. And we get much more into that details, or we get much more into it, much more detail as you listen on to the episode. I like the part where she mentions the one thing she won't do again and why, and it's a clinical thing, okay? And that's great to find out this early in I guess your career or in your startup, that you already have a good gist of what you want to do in your practice and what you're not so good at. Maybe you might outsource it, so forth. So we also talk about the startup process, how a lot of the times we think, okay, this is how it's going to happen, then step three, step four, step five. But what she's quickly noticing is the startup process is everything rolling all at once. And that's also interesting. And we also talk about a dental lease negotiator company, which was a big mistake so far. She understood some things that they promised, and she has not seen it at all. And it's been a while. Like, she's the one who's had to do all the research and everything. And it's kind of like, oh, well, then what did I pay you for? But we talk about it. And we talk about how much she paid for the dental lease negotiator company. So, guys, without further delay, here is Dr. Sarah. All right, it's time to talk with our featured guest, Sarah. I'm not going to say your last name, Sarah. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking. So I know like half of our audience is wondering, why am I not saying your last name?
Well, I guess I've just chosen, I work in public health right now, so I've just kind of chosen to not really use my last name on social media. And I'm fairly selective on, like, I have my privacy settings pretty private because I have some fairly interesting patients. And so I try to maintain some privacy in my life, which is thus the no last name.
could you tell us like one story of, like, because you said you have interesting patients.
I mean, I guess I am constant. Like, I have this one patient that, I mean, I've had a couple where I've, like, really counseled them on tobacco use, and they've asked for my phone number to, like, call me when they want to have a cigarette so that they don't.
Oh. But that isn't that, like, a support system?
It is, but, I mean, if you knew the guy, it would be a little, you wouldn't feel so comfortable with it.
Got you.
And then I've had another one, like, ask me to go out on dates and, like, go to coffee and go to dinner. And I'm like, my husband wouldn't like that.
What does he say? Oh, I was going to say, what does he say after that? Because he might be like,
well,
okay.
I mean, you just try to let him down easy. I mean, he doesn't, like, push it, but he gives it a try. He's like, worth a shot.
Yeah. Well, I think people are, at least the listeners, are probably going to know who you are, because I kind of put, like, the profile picture with the episode. So
sure.
Maybe. That's, well, no, who knows? We might just be like a question mark. That'd be pretty cool. But, okay, so tell us a little bit about your past, present, and future, and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, so I am a first-generation college student and actually the first person in my family to become a doctor, which is also why I kept my last name when I got married, mm-hmm. Because it was pretty important to me to still have that, because it was a big part of who I was. Yeah. Or who I am, I guess. But anyway, I grew up on a farm and a ranch in a town of like 92 people was the population when I grew up there. So
where?
Really, really small town. I grew up in Herdsfield, North Dakota.
I never heard of that.
Kind of smack dab in the middle of the state of North Dakota. Very rural. Cows way outnumber people. But it was great. Like, I love the country life. I got really fortunate to, like, be around my parents a lot, and I learned how to work really hard because there was always something to do on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I kind of bragged about myself a little bit in dental school, or at least it's the story I tell now, where I sometimes felt like I knew more manly things than some other men that I went to school with, because, mm-hmm. I mean, I did some pretty crazy, not crazy things, I guess, on the farm, but, like, I knew how to do a lot of agricultural things and things with animals that horrified a few people, I think. But I won't go into, like, detail, because it maybe is a little vulgar.
Like, are you talking about animal?
Well, like, yeah, I mean, like, when you're producing animals, you know, like livestock, and, you know, when people eat, like, beef, it's a steer, which means they're castrated. So, like, you know, if you think about it in that sense, there's, you know, some stuff that goes on there, obviously, that I know how to do.
Google it right now. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. And then
yeah,
what happened?
I mean, and so I always thought I was going to be a medical doctor. I was going to go to med school in the state. I was going to stay in the state when I was done. And I was never leaving North Dakota. Never. And then that changed, because in college it was really hard to job shadow an MD for whatever reason. Like, multiple times I tried and it just would never work out.
Mm-hmm.
So then I decided, well, I'm going to go be a pharmacist. And I did a pharmacy internship, and it was not enjoyable.
Really?
We'll leave it at that. It was pretty boring for me. Like, there wasn't as much interaction with people because it was a hospital pharmacy internship that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of, like, in the lab stuff, and it just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was on some career exploration, and someone's like, have you ever thought about being a dentist? And I was like, well, I don't know, I'll go shadow one. And I did. And the dentist that I shadowed, he had like this big burly guy in his chair, and he like fixed all of his front teeth and gave the guy a mirror, and he was like crying and so happy to have his smile back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like very, very, very cool. And I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then I started looking back, like I was a super weird kid. Like I saved all
you
my
still are a little bit
in, like,
weird. I'm just kidding. You saved all your baby teeth? You still have your baby teeth?
I saved all my baby teeth. No, you know what's weird is I eventually got rid of them because I would go on like these cleaning streaks in college where I'd like come home and I'm like,
would clean out
all of my high school stuff. And like, so it's really kind of sad because that happened before I decided to become a dentist. Otherwise, I would totally still have them.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And then I begged my parents for braces for like years before I finally got braces. And then like, I've always, you know, a smile has always been my favorite feature on a person. So I'm like, well, duh, of course this makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I spent a lot of time shadowing dentists in my college town. And I went on a dental mission trip. Well, a mission trip with a couple of my friends. So we went to Kenya and volunteered in Nakuru at their kind of general hospital. So it had like a whole bunch of different buildings that were like OBGYN, dental, eye, emergency. And so volunteered there and then came back, applied to dental school and got in at a couple of places. And then it's been like the best thing ever because I am very fortunate to have ended up in something that I really love.
What dental school did you go to?
I went to the University of Colorado.
Oh, wow. Okay. So in the mission trip, that's something you'd recommend to everybody, right? To do or not?
Oh my God. It was, yes. I mean, it was a little bit like, I mean, I grew up in a town of 90 people and like I did a little traveling around the United States as a teenager.
Okay.
And then in college, me and a couple other friends that pretty much we all went to professional school after that. We just got this harebrained idea, like, let's find a mission trip to go on and let's go and let's try to make it like so it can combine all the things we're wanting to go into.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a great experience. Like, my parents were like, oh my God, like, you can't do this. I mean, cause we went to Kenya and during a time where there was a bunch of, it wasn't really like a few months before we were supposed to go, it was like no travel advised. There was a lot of upheaval and people displaced people in camps and stuff. And it ended up all panning out to where we were still able to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, with all of that stuff that was going on, my parents were very nervous, for us to travel, but it was like, you can't live your life with fear, otherwise you'll never do anything. So you just have to go do it, even though there might be some risk, because there's risk, you know, driving down the street in the town you live in.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is definitely something that I think everybody should do. Like,
why
go on a mission trip? You know, it's just something like, you, I came back from that trip appreciating so much of like the things my parents did for me, the life that I had, and just being really grateful for everything that I've been able to have in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, I didn't grow up with like a ton of money necessarily. Like, I grew up with everything I needed and some of what I wanted, and then, you know, to work for whatever else you wanted. And, you know, the mission trip just kind of reinforced, like, you know, where you can be kind of a, you know, a spoiled child on some level and be like, oh, my life is so terrible. My mom won't buy me the Xbox or whatever. But I mean, you go on that and you come back with a completely, I wasn't a video gamer, so I don't know why I used that like analogy.
I know.
But I mean, it was an easy example.
Yeah.
But you know, you come back and you just appreciate things on such a different level and then realize like there are so many people in the world that need your help.
Like, at what point did you get reassured, like, yeah, dentistry is what I want to do. Was it in the mission trip or before that?
I think it further solidified my decision because, like, I mean, I remember when I went and shadowed, like, I loved every single minute of it. The time would pass by really quickly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had some great people that were, you know, mentoring me at the time. But it further solidified that because, like, I mean, I feel like I saw some stuff in the dental unit there where I was like, this is like almost a little barbaric in some sense. Like, I mean, but the people needed it. They would just line up and like wait because they had like a toothache and, mm-hmm. you know, they weren't always getting them numb or, you know, the dentist was fixing like a gunshot wound to the face and like, you know, all of this really kind of crazy stuff where you would never, I mean, I shouldn't say you would never see that like as a dentist here, but you'd see it a lot less. And there's like a different philosophy on care on some level, you know, where they're like, okay, this is kind of your one shot to like get care because the line is so long and, you know, they're just going to tough through it. They were like some of the toughest people that yeah. I think I've ever seen. Because they were just, you know, they were so thankful that there was a place for them to go to where they would be able to get out of pain, even if it hurt, you know, even if they weren't like completely numb or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. So it was
just, yeah. I mean, I felt like coming back in after going, like, I could experience that. Like, you can make a big change for lots of people. Not only like you're, you know, practicing dentistry in your community, but like going out into the world and doing some of that stuff too.
Mm-hmm. So right now you're working in public health then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been at it for 5 years already, at the clinic that I'm at. So,
and I don't know, could I mention that you want to do a startup or could I not mention it?
I think we can mention it. Like, I'm working towards it. So, I mean, I believe in transparency. So, you know, I'm not going to, gotcha. I don't really like to tiptoe around things. Like, you know, I don't like rumors flying and stuff like that. And, like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's my plan.
So, why do you want to do your own startup? And then at the same time, why are you leaving public health?
You know, for me, I've always wanted to be like my own boss and like have control over my time and practice on my terms. And I think that's really the biggest reason for me to do a startup. I've looked at like other practices with older retiring docs and nothing has just really panned out. And then the more I think about it, like I'm a little obsessive compulsive and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. as most dentists are. And so I just decided, like, if I'm gonna leave public health and go start a business, I really want it to be on my terms. I want the systems in place so that it's exactly how I want. I want to train people the way I want them to be trained. I want to, you know, appreciate people the way I want to appreciate them. And like, I feel like it's on some level might be easier doing that from the ground up than like retraining. Or having to deal with, well, this doc did it this way, or this doc did it this way, you know, from people who are at like a, you know, if you acquire a practice.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that's true, I don't know, but it's the journey that I've talked myself into at this point. And so I'm running with it.
Okay. And then so we'll get back to that right now in a bit. But I mean, so far that you've been in public health for about 5 years, what's something that you learned that completely changed your mindset or your outlook on business, on the business side of dentistry, or also on the clinical side?
You know, the clinical side is probably a little easier to speak on because I'm obviously more involved in that. Like, I'm not as involved in business stuff. I feel like as I've been there longer, I've learned a little bit more about business. But the clinical side, it's just like, I think the biggest thing that I see, because I think I see a lot of patients that are pretty vulnerable. They don't have anywhere else to go. You know, they've kind of been, you know, some of them may be kicked down a little bit or embarrassed by, you know, the way another practitioner has talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm seeing them when they're, you know, typically fearful, anxious, I mean, not all of them are, but, you know, there are some that, you know, they'll be like, I haven't came back for 2 years because someone, you know, just made me feel so awful about myself and where my teeth were at that time. So it prevented me from finally getting the courage to come in for a while. And that I just find, like, incredibly, it's sad, you know, that someone makes someone feel bad about walking into the door and wanting help.
Have you seen
and
it?
So for me,
have you seen that there or no?
I've seen that, yeah.
Like, what do they say?
Yeah, I mean, I've had multiple patients where they just made me feel so bad about, like, why aren't, you know, just, like, kind of accusatory, like, why aren't you brushing or are you doing drugs or, like,
you know,
stuff like that. And then people just, you know, they don't trust the provider. They don't feel comfortable, you know. And so for me, it's just, like, I'm no judgment. Like, I'm just so happy you're here to get care. And, like, if you don't like me and I'm not your cup of tea, like, find somebody who is, because that's what the important thing is that you find someone that you click with and that you trust and that you want to take care of you and educate you on your oral health. And I think that's been the biggest thing, is just really the no judgment thing. Like, you can't judge people. You don't know where they're at. But sometimes it takes a lot of courage to walk through that door, to be in a place that's not always comfortable and that they've maybe had some bad experiences with, whether it's been, like, painful or just emotionally difficult. Because nobody wants to feel bad, you know. I think my number one job is an educator. So I always try to educate about oral health and, like, I'm always really excited, like, when someone's actually engaging with me and, like, excited to get healthy and will listen to all the things that I have to tell them. And then they go do it. And that's the coolest thing, where, you know, they'll come back and be like, I did everything. Like, my gums aren't bleeding as bad and my teeth don't hurt as bad. And, like, yeah. I'm so excited to get healthy again. And, you know, like, that's super cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then, so what's, like, the something you've seen, maybe in public health or dental school, throughout this whole process, something that you've done that you'll never do again?
I have a pretty good story on that. Because it's one that I will never forget. I had a horizontally impacted number 32 bow wisdom tooth that was, like, pretty much, I mean, it was like a partial bony impaction. And I had taken an extraction course in, I actually took, like, Tommy Murph's extraction course and went to Guatemala and got to do a couple days of mission there. But anyway, so since I had taken that, I had a guy come in that was, like, end of the day, of course, and this tooth was bothering him. And I'm like, okay, let's take it out. And, like, it was the hardest tooth I have ever taken out. I don't know that I will ever do it again. And he said, thank you, Jesus, when it was out.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know that I'll attempt any of those for a while.
That's pretty intense then. So that was, when did that happen?
That was probably a year and a half ago. He came back, though, so that's good. Like, he still wants to see me after I feel like a, you know, it was a long, 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 long procedure. But,
yeah. So in your,
you know, he was a great patient. So, but yeah. As far as procedure wise, I don't think I'll do that again.
When you open your own practice, do you plan to do more, like, surgeries or just restorative dentistry?
I really like everything. And I do really like surgery. I mean, I like to think I'm pretty good at taking teeth out, even though that story probably didn't reflect that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's, like, a great skill to be able to have when someone comes in and has a tooth that's hurting them and they don't want to save it and you can get them out of pain that day. Like, I think that's a really great service to be able to offer. And I think, you know, like, I like surgery, so I don't think it's something I'll cut out of my practice. It can be pretty rewarding to, like, take someone's teeth out and give them a denture, if that's kind of where they're at, and they get their smile back and, you know, they don't have teeth that bother them and get the great service that you can provide. And not everybody wants to be sedated, you know, and a lot of people want to stay with the same practitioner. Can you do it, doc? I can do that for you. Do you want me to? Like, you know, so if they can stay in house, I think, at least I find a lot of my patients prefer that.
Yeah. So right now, with everything that you've been seeing, because you're in the startup group, right, in the Facebook group, and you kind of been watching a lot of stuff and hearing everything on the podcast. So when do you plan to actually make the your startup? And then what have you feel like you've learned, and what have you feel like you're like, oh man, I never want that to happen?
I'll kind of go through kind of where I've been at. So last summer, one of our supply reps, the Henry Schein rep, was like, hey, like, what's your plan? Are you like going to do public health forever? Are you going to like open your own clinic? Like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I think I would like maybe like to open my clinic at one point. And then at the time, there was like this big building going up in town. And I'm like, that would be a great place for a dental practice. And he's like, well, it just so happens that someone I work with knows them, blah, blah, blah. Like, let's get you in there and look at it.
Oh.
And so I went in and I looked at it, and it had a great view, and all that sort of stuff. So that sort of started the ball rolling. And then like everything just sort of just seemed to be happening at once, where I was like, well, there's this space, and like, what do I do? And like, I don't know how this process works. And so one day, out of desperation, I was just like searching on Facebook for like startup dental practices. And then I found the Making of a Dental Startup and immediately joined. And then I had like this desperation post, like, tell me it's going to be okay. Like, it just seems like everything is happening at once, and it's like awful. And how do you handle this? Cause I'm very much a list person. I like to like have a linear checklist, and you check that off and you get that done. And I have found that the startup process is not like that. Like, it is just everything kind of rolling at once, which I've come to terms with. So then January 2nd, I paid a dental-specific lease negotiator company a lot of money.
Could we ask, like, how much? Like, a range?
I paid... I really hate to admit it, because it's just, I don't really know that I love this purchase that much, so it's probably a little bit of a... one of the mistakes I've maybe made, but I paid them $9,000 to from what my impression was to like do some demographic work, find me a space, negotiate, you know, the lease, do the letter of intent, and it ended up not being like that, unfortunately. So I had a moment where I tried to fire them and get my money back, and then that didn't really work out for whatever reason. They're like, we assure you we're gonna be with you this whole process. Like, people get frustrated, this takes a while, because like there's like 500,000 square feet of commercial real estate available in the town that I live in, and so I'm like, it shouldn't be that hard to find a spot to put a dental practice. Like, because I that this fast forwarding, like 3 months after I paid them, I still didn't have space. And we're like in June, and I still don't have a space. You know, there's a little frustration.
Do I know them or no?
I'm not sure you've ever mentioned them, like on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not really sure if I can mention.
No, them. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if I should. I mean, on some level, I feel like my verdict is still out on them. I'm trying to like still be open to seeing if they're valuable, and then. Maybe we can have a discussion about that another time because I feel like I'm pretty close to a space. Like, I have, I'm actually in a lease negotiation right now. So I've looked at a bunch of different spaces. I'm like, my dream space ended up being like way too expensive and way too many square feet. And then like no signage. And the biggest thing for me is I was like, I want a busier street with signage on the building. You know, for my startup, because I just think that it's going to be important to have that. And it's what sits well with me and what I can sleep with at night. So that's what I want. Like, that might not be what everybody wants, but that's what I want. And so if I'm going to be paying money to this, you know, to a space and to a landlord, like it has to feel good for me. And so now I finally, I got connected through to like a, So I never had a realtor in all of this process up until this new space, really, that I found. And so my biggest advice to someone that's looking for a space is, like, talk to a realtor. Like, a lot of their advice is free until they sign a lease, from at least in my state. And so, you know, you're not paying them anything until you find something. And you're not, and then supposedly you're not really paying them because at least here the landlord pays them all the money. I mean, I still feel like it's figured into your lease on some level, but that's mm-hmm. how this company sold me, is they were like, hey, we can save you all of this money. You don't have to hire a real estate agent. And then, like, you know, they typically get 3% from the buyer and 3% from the landlord. And then, like, you could really negotiate, like, 3% less on your lease. Mm-hmm. And you could, we charge you this much, but this is what we could save you on your lease. And so you, like, look at the math and you're like, well, yeah, I could pay someone $25,000, you know, over the life of your loan. Or not your loan, your lease, or you could pay them $9,000. Like, oh, that makes sense.
That's pretty good.
Except I don't really feel. I mean, they're good at sales, I think. I really think that. I mean, I hope that, you know, they're gonna shine in the lease negotiation process and making sure I'm protected as the tenant. And so that's where I'm really hoping to see that value. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, there weren't very clear terms on what they actually did for me in the beginning. Mm. You know, which I guess I was under the impression they did a few more things for $9,000, but
that's okay.
I've come to terms with it. Like, if anything, it made me commit to the project. And so that's been good, like, to where, you know, I'm finally going, okay, this is my year. This is the year I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so if anything, it made me commit to that. You know, so I mean, maybe it was a mistake, but now I'm a lot more careful.
Yeah.
I think in the things that I'm choosing to do, and, like, you know, talking to multiple people and not just one, and not just taking some one person's advice is, like, the gold standard, and really trying to find more information on something before you. It's also jaded me a little bit on being, like, trustworthy in the process.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm going, I feel a little kind of, I feel, you know, a little taken advantage of, maybe. And so then I'm going, well, now I feel like I need to, you know, talk to this person. And, you know, I'm like, and then on some level it comes down to business. So, like, business is business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, yeah, you have some relationships with some people, but, like, you know, if you feel burned a little bit, it's kind of harder to, like, follow through and not really explore avenues. 'Cause, like, it's a lot of money to start a practice, and saving, you know, I'm like, $9,000, that's an x-ray sensor.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
or close to one.
Do you think, like, you know, if you wouldn't have done this, though, I mean, there's a lesson here, you know what I mean? Like, now you know.
There's a lesson.
Now you know, because mm-hmm. if not, then I think who knows, it could have been, to be honest, I think it might have been even worse. Like, who knows, maybe somebody else could have approached, and this is how I think you figure out, or you pave your own path, right? You pave your own trail,
right?
In my experience, because I mean, like, now you know what questions to ask, or now you know what to do, and at the same time, like you said, it kind of, like, lit the fire under you, saying, like, okay, I really do have to do this. But
yeah,
that is expensive, though. It
is expensive. Yeah. So I'm really hoping, I mean, at least with where I've been at with, like, this, so, like, the current space I'm looking at, my Wells Fargo, I don't know, someone that's participating in the loan stuff at Wells Fargo mm-hmm. had hooked me up with this lady that's representing the building that I'm looking at leasing in, and she's been great. Like, I went and met with her, and, like, so the company I'm looking at is actually, like, a design build company, so it gets a little trickier with that too.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it's, like, all my eggs in one basket. But she's been great. So I went and I met with her and the developer, and, like, they told me their numbers, and then I went and I told this lease negotiator the numbers. And so we've negotiated some stuff to where I'm like, well, if I would have just been doing this on my own, I might not have gotten that. So, like, on some level, I've gotten some money back in those terms, if this all works out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, they've maybe made up for that. I mean, maybe I could have gotten it on my own, but I'm just not sure. I feel like I've become fairly educated on letter of intents and what's kind of normal, and mm-hmm. you know, all these different terms in that. You know, so if anybody has any questions about any of that stuff, feel free to ask me, because I will tell you my personal experience and kind of what I've learned, and maybe some questions to ask whatever company, if you're looking at a company that helps with that stuff. Because I feel like there was a lot of stuff that I didn't ask and then I didn't know. And then I was mad that I wasn't getting that because I assumed, and one should never assume.
What did you assume?
Well, I mean, I assumed that they were going to do demographic work on the spaces, on like every space that we looked at, and know the numbers and the traffic counts and stuff like that. And like, I assumed that they were going to look at all of the real estate in town and go, this is a good spot to put a practice. This is a good spot to put a practice. This is a good spot to put a practice. And none of that really happened. They sent me a long list of 500,000 square feet of commercial real estate that's available in town and said, why don't you just let us know like what you want to maybe have us set up tours of?
Huh.
I was like, wait, didn't I just pay you all this money to do this work for me? Like, I thought like I got to take a little bit of a step back and you weed through this and say like, this fits what you're looking square footage wise and demographic wise and this and this. And that wasn't really how it worked out. And I looked back at some emails and I was actually told that they were going to do some demographic stuff. But they didn't.
Did you let them know that or no?
So, it didn't come from them. It came from, the supply company that recommended them.
Okay.
They maybe didn't know exactly what this company did, but
yeah, that's true. So,
in all
right now, how do you see your startup? Is it, how many ops does it have? And at the same time, what kind of practice is it going to be? Like, in the sense, is it going to be FFS, fee for service, or insurance, HMO? And, yeah, is it going to be like a pedo for everybody? Like, how is your practice looking so far in your mind?
Yeah. I plan on doing family dentistry. Mm-hmm. I've had to scale back a little bit because I wanted to initially plan for having an associate or a partner down the road. And now I've scaled it back because then I started to realize like how much of an investment all of this stuff was. And I'm concerned. I get concerned over big loans of money, like student
loans. I think that's everybody.
You know, so I'm going, what is realistic? Just because the bank will give you this much money, does that really mean that's what you should spend?
It's good. Look at it. That's good.
And so I've scaled back my project a little bit on where I'm like, okay. I've told my husband, like, you know, if the practice is doing so well that I have to bring on a partner and I have to relocate, that's okay. That is a really good thing. But I don't want to build a space that I'm paying for and not using. Mm-hmm. And so I'm planning for like 5 or 6 ops. And I'll probably equip 2 or 3. I really want to equip 3, but I probably should only do 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I envision my practice being super homey. Like, I just want it to be, I originally wanted to call my practice the dental home, and my husband didn't like that because I just wanted it to be a place for everybody.
Yeah.
And then I felt like it played into like, you know, everybody needs a dental home, but most people don't understand the dental home aside from like dentists.
Yeah. Okay.
And so anyway, that's where the thought process went. I'm like, I want it to be super homey and just a really comfortable place that people just feel like they're maybe sitting in somebody's living room when they're in the reception area,
mm-hmm.
not like a stuffy doctor office.
Is it going to be fee for service, or are you going to accept all insurances?
You know, I'm going to look into some insurance. There's some kind of weird stuff going on in our state with, which maybe you shouldn't put that on the podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know, but you know, I really want to be able to do like the compassionate finance stuff, you know, an in-office savings plan for people so that I can fit dentistry into anybody's budget. I do think that I will take some insurance because lots of people have insurance, and like I'm nervous about starting a fee for service practice
mm-hmm.
In our market because it's just I don't know, it maybe would work, but I'm just
I'm
a little more hesitant to do that. So I think I will take some insurance. You know, like I've seen, you know, a lot of Medicaid and stuff over the years, and so I think I'll probably do some of that also, just because it's, I feel like it's the right thing to do. Like, everybody deserves to have access to a provider and a good provider. So, and if my patients that I currently see want to follow me, like, I'm good with that, because I've developed a lot of really great relationships with people, and some of that would be sad if I didn't see them again.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So really quick, I wanted to ask, they're non-clinical questions. So what do you want to see different in dentistry?
I just want like no judgment, like just kind, compassionate care for people and people to be healthy and, you know, like, and to break down some of these barriers of like, I'm the doctor and I'm like, I'm a person too. Like, I'm nothing special. I just got really lucky and I'm smart and like, I'm here to do this for you. But like, you know, like, I don't really feel like I'm super special. Don't put me on a pedestal. Like, I'm a normal person. And that's really what I want to be to people, is just like a normal person, someone that they don't have to be like scared around.
Yeah. Got you. And then what's something you've implemented that has changed your mindset in a completely positive way?
Well, you know, I've had some rough times over the years, like, you know, just feeling overworked, underpaid, stressed. Those sort of things. And so really reflecting on my day, and on some days I actually did have to write down like 3 positive things that happened in my day, and focus on those, because the negatives can be overwhelming. And so I think that's been something that has been good for me, to just really find the gratitude in some of the little things, or the difference you're making for, you know, one of the patients or whatnot.
How often do you feel like that? Because I feel like a lot of people kind of approach me like that, saying like, I feel so overworked and underpaid. What can I do? And maybe that's when it like spawns like, or it produces like, I want to start my own practice.
Yeah, it definitely does. But I think, I really think it's like, on some level, it's focusing on the day and what you can accomplish in that day, and then getting that done and like taking care of the people in that day. If you look ahead too much, it gets overwhelming. Like at the clinic I'm booked out until like the end of August.
Oh, wow.
And that's really overwhelming for me. Yeah. And also like a little frustrating, but because I feel like it's not really the type of care I want to provide. Like, I don't want my patients to wait that long. Like, I think if they're coming into the office, they want to get healthy now, and I just don't necessarily have that availability to do that a ton. So I've taken some control over some of that also, to scale back on like how many new patients I'm seeing right now, because I was like, I need to get people healthy that I've been seeing before I can really see new people.
No, yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. And then,
As far as speaking to like the being overwhelmed and stuff, and then you going like, I'm going to do a startup or whatnot, like, it's really the whole, you know, really wanting to have control of your schedule and how busy you want to be. Like, and then I think there's just like some really great satisfaction of working for yourself and knowing, I've always been someone that, you get out of it what you put into it. And so every, you know, when you're working for someone else, you don't truly get that. Like, you know, you might put in a lot of work, you know, and this and that, and like, you get some satisfaction out of that. But in a startup, like every ounce that you put into it, you see all of those benefits, whether it's, you know, you're able to do something for your team or for yourself or for somebody else, like one of your patients, like, you know, it just gives you that ability to like take what you know, every ounce you put into it and like do something for someone else or for yourself.
Yeah.
And you directly see that.
Yeah, I like that.
Which I think is what's appealing about a startup.
Yeah, you're right.
Or having your own business.
That's interesting. Yeah, I like that. And then right now, what do you do to cope with stress?
I run.
Like marathons or?
I mean, not marathons. I have not brought myself to marathons yet. But I just ran my 11th half marathon a couple weekends ago.
That's good. And then what's one book everyone needs to read?
Oh, one book everybody needs to read. I just finished, oh my gosh, it's called Contagious, and it's about why things catch on.
Oh,
and I read it because I was like, oh, it's about like marketing. And that seems really great. And I really enjoyed it because it makes you think about like why do certain things catch on versus other things? Like, why does someone become famous versus another person? Or, you know, why did Facebook take off and MySpace not so much? I like that book a lot.
Okay.
And then you Are a Badass is also good.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good idea. Okay. And last question, because, guys, Sarah's insanely busy. I believe she's in the car right now. I can...
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Did you just hear my car start?
This happened many times
in
interviews.
I am like the queen of jam-packing my life full of stuff. my poor husband. Seriously. He's like... He's a physician assistant, and so he was on call this weekend, and on Saturday night, he called, and he's like, hey, like, some short notice plans, do we have anything going on? I was like, no, I didn't plan anything, you're on call, like, we can't really do much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one time you don't have my life, like, planned out for me, like, I actually have a free night, and I was like, you do, yeah, we planned a free night.
Oh, that's cool. What do you guys do on free night?
We ended up going to a barbecue. So, cool. We're good at short notice plans, but we like to go hunting and fishing, and we go mushroom hunting and asparagus hunting and all
that's
kinds
cool.
of stuff. We like the outdoors.
That's nice. Okay, so what advice do you want to give to the audience, either dental students, new dentists? What advice do you want to give them?
I mean, just keep chasing your dreams and be persistent. I mean, there have been so many. I've cried a lot already in this process, and an emotional roller coaster is frustrating. But like, you just kind of have to keep the end goal in mind, because one day it's going to be so great. And I just envision getting to walk into my office every day and like want to cry because I've gotten to build something that's so wonderful and is exactly what I want. So the tears are probably worth it. Verdict's going to probably still be out on that, but I imagine them being worth it for me. And all the frustration is worth it. It's it's not necessarily, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So, you know, you got to just kind of keep at it for the long haul and know that like one step at a time in the right direction is really all you need to do.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Sarah, for being with us. But before we say goodbye, tell us where it is we can find you.
You can find me on Facebook, probably through the Dental Startup group. I'm Sarah K on there. And then I also am on Instagram, but you know, I really should know my, I'm SK Mertz on Instagram, MERTZ. And now you know my last name. So there's that.
I thought K was always your last name. Ah, I didn't even know your last name.
K is my middle name. Yeah.
Oh, yep, wow.
K's
okay.
My middle name.
Yep. Okay.
They had given us that advice in dental school, like get rid of our last names on Facebook.
Oh, wow. So, that's interesting. I didn't even know that.
Maybe it's weird advice.
No, it's good. It's good. You never know. You're right. But oh, well. Alrighty, yeah. Sarah. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Such a great interview. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and sticking with me. Before I get into my finishing thoughts here and what I want you guys to, you know, take home with, don't forget about CallForce. Okay, CallForce, the recall, the only, I guess, company, honestly, right now that's only focused on recalls, and they're dedicated just to making recalls for you. Go check out the show, go to the show notes below and click on that link. Not only for $100 off and $25 per appointment, not only is this like an amazing deal, and not only is it like, hey, this is going to guarantee you're going to make more production. Obviously, it's like a guarantee. It pays for itself, and it's so affordable. Go on the show notes below, click on the link, but just click on it just to read more information, see the testimonials, see all the things that CallForce can do for you. Go to the show notes below, click on the link, and if you have any questions or concerns, feel free to reach out to me. So use CallForce, guys. CallForce. Go on the show notes below. Now, my final thoughts here about this episode. Very interesting. So how many patients, I want to know, do you lose from not being able to do procedures, right? Like, so we saw that, for example, one thing she really wouldn't do again and why was like, you know, wisdom tooth extraction. Which is fine. It's fine. Like, it's fine that people, you know, find their strengths and weaknesses. But it makes me wonder sometimes, like, okay, if we were to get so much more training, right? Like, or if a dentist was to get training in, let's just say, crown lengthening surgery, or maybe something different like sinus lifts or sleep apnea, would that help solve problems in the production side? Or would, I mean, it obviously opens up like a new avenue, right? And you obviously would make more production. But it's just, I don't know, it was just something I was wondering, like, how I wonder how many patients we may lose from not doing anything, or we may gain. Because remember, if you decide to be everything to everyone, you're not going to do anything. But if you hone in on your niche, then people are going to go to you just for that, right? And you can charge a premium or do something. So anyways, that was an interesting thing I liked about this podcast. Another thing is, when did she start the process to her startup, right? It was during public health. And a lot of the times when we talk to dentists, they feel like, okay, I've always wanted to start up from the beginning. But I liked how, I mean, I feel like everybody can relate to that. Like, okay, you know, I want my own thing. I want to create my own schedule. I want to do my own thing. It's not bad where she's at, right? But she really likes their patients. She really likes the people who she works with. She likes the company, everything. But it's the, I guess, autonomy. It's more like, hey, I want that freedom. Does that relate to you guys? Like, do you guys also feel, a lot of you listening, I want to know what's one of the main reasons you went to do your own startup, or why you're doing your own startup. Is it because of that? Another thing I liked is that she mentioned is talk to realtors, right? That was one of her biggest advice, because you're not really paying them until you find something. Now with the startup, lease negotiation company, they kind of told her, you know what, do it all. We'll do it all, and you don't got to worry about it. So that's why she didn't really go with the realtor at the very beginning. But then, as you can quickly see, that went south. So I also like that with her startup, she wants to accept lots of insurances, including Medicaid, which is honestly kind of opposite to most startups I've asked. I mean, they kind of want to say, you know, I want to be FFS, or I want to do FFS and fee-for-service and some insurances, or just PPO insurances, no HM, right? So you can kind of see where Sarah's heart and mind is at right here in this one. She really wants to continue to serve the existing patients she has, right? And now I'm not saying like, okay, that means other people don't have the same mindset or heart. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying like right now, that's what she wants to do with Medicaid. Who knows down the road, right? Who knows down the road? I'm pretty sure a lot of us have thought that. But as we can see, sometimes it doesn't, may not pan out in the community that you're in, or it may pan out, right? So good. That's really good. She also wants to see no judgment in dentistry. And I think that's fantastic. She wants a Planet Fitness, right? A no judgment zone in dentistry. In the sense of like, hey man, and I understand, right? If somebody doesn't come in from the dentist in a long time, or if somebody hasn't gone to the dentist in a long time, and then they go in, hygienist comes in, they kind of say like, wow, when's the last time you brushed your teeth? Oh my gosh, do you ever floss? And then the dentist is like, oh my gosh, you have like 7 cavities. We need to get this done right away. It's overwhelming, right? It's overwhelming, especially just talking stuff the general population doesn't know, like dentistry. So don't judge. Don't judge. And throughout this process, you will learn so much. That's what I like what she said too as well. And you do. You learn so, so very much throughout this process, meaning you go in thinking, even if you go in thinking like, okay, I'm going to go with a specific group, right? And they're going to teach and do everything, and I'm just going to kind of sit back. No, you're going to end up knowing things all the time. And it's going to be fun, and it's not going to be fun. You're going to kind of be like, what did I hire this company for if I have to do it myself, right? And a lot of things you're going to realize you have to do yourself, whether it's the small, tedious things or maybe some big things, depending on how much money you have to invest in a company like that to help you with the startup process. And I like how she mentions in a startup, every ounce of work you put in it, you see it. Teamwork, work on patients, saving money, etc. And that is huge. And maybe that's why you guys are saying, that's why I want to do a startup. Because it's true. Everything you put into it, that's like your baby, right? And that's what Paola says in The Making of Sleek. It's your other kid. You see it and you want to I mean, everything you put into it, it's because of you. As is, if you're an associate or working in public health, yeah, you can try and save as much money, or you can put in as much as you can on something, teamwork or something. But if another team member doesn't want to do it, you know what I mean? Or maybe somebody's, you're trying to save money, but then somebody's not doing it with supplies. It just depends. It all depends on too many variables when you're just an associate. And a lot of the times you're kind of like, I'm just an associate. It's not going to matter. Depending on how the owner wants his business run and things like that. So if you are, if it's your practice, if it's your own, then you're going to see everything, every book you read, every class you take about business or a clinical side, or you're like, you know what, I want to start implementing sleep apnea now. We're going to do it. You can do it as an associate, but if the owner's like, don't focus so much on sleep apnea. We're a cosmetic dentistry, right? You're kind of like, oh man, then that was... why did I do that then? But if you like, I want to be a health and wellness dentist, or it's just any little thing, you notice it. You notice it in your practice and you mold it the way you want it to be. So that's amazing. And lastly, what she says, the tears and frustration are worth it. That is true. A lot of the times when we talk to dentists, they tell us from the very beginning, you guys hear this all the time. It's an emotional roller coaster, right? And I think when you start any business, it's an emotional roller coaster. But I mean, wow, when you're working with other people and saving lives, that's definitely emotional in so many ways. Not only because you're like, okay, I'm serving the community, I'm helping save lives. And at the same time, I have to worry about keeping this business running. And at the same time, I'm feeding other people, like the employees that work for you, feeding their families and stuff like that. I'm paying for them. So it's a lot of pressure. But when you kind of sit back and look at it and see what you've created, and then you see what you're doing, you kind of think, wow, in the midst of all this chaos, or in the midst of all this, whatever that's happening, right? Like everything, you feel like everything's everywhere sometimes. You're doing something huge and major and life-changing. And you're doing something that only you can do, right, at that moment. So it's not like saying, okay, there's so much chaos, all this stuff is happening. No, it's like, hey, you're meant for this. Like, this is it. You're going to do this. And I think that's kind of beautiful. I don't know if I made any sense right there. But I think that's really, really nice to know, like, that the community can depend on you. Other people can depend on you. Your employees can depend on you. You have to depend on you. And it sounds like a lot of work, but I mean, you got to do it. It was the decision you made. So anyways, guys, I don't know if I rambled off there at the end. Sorry if I did, but don't forget, like I said, check out CallForce, go to the show notes below. And at the same time, go follow me on Instagram and Facebook. If you're on Facebook, I'm under The Dental Marketer. That's our Instagram. I mean, that's our Facebook page. Our Instagram, my Instagram is The Dental Marketer. Just like that, T-H-E and then Dental Marketer, all one word. Go direct message me. Follow me on there. Do what you want to do. Reach out to me. I'm very quick at responding on there. I'm actually on Instagram a little bit more than on Facebook. So feel free to message me on there. And at the same time, guys, if you want me to interview a guest or something like that, you want to know a little bit more information, you know how nosy I am. I'm super nosy, so I'll ask any questions to anybody. Feel free to reach out to me as well on Instagram or Facebook. And if you're not on the Making of a Dental Startup group, and this is like your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the Dental Marketer Podcast. I'm happy to have you here. I'm pretty sure the TDM tribe, the TDM family, TDM stands for The Dental Marketer, we're all happy to have you here. So be sure to go follow us on all the social medias, and at the same time, go join the Making of a Dental Startup group. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. And with that being said, I'll talk to you guys soon.